Well, there's a Christmas party down there in the foolish barn. For everybody's rocking and having lots of fun.
That's right. Who would have thought? You tuned to WGN Radio to get obscure Christmas tunes. I've got a fistful of them. By the way, that collection I have was assembled by the last guest we had on here, Radio Dave. He's just an amazing fella in what he knows and what he has in his audio collection. Do you have an investment portfolio? You know, there's no other thing you can do with your money if you want it to grow. You can put it in a savings account and get piddly squat. You can buy a CD. You've got to be a player in the market. If you want to have something for your later years, there is no alternative than having it invested in the markets. You can do it yourself if you love adventure, thrills, and daring, or you can turn it over to somebody who spends their entire day studying all the many details that influence the investment world. In the Allstate Showcase Studios, Joe LaPresti, Senior Portfolio Manager and President of Arlington Capital Management. He and his team practice, now I keep saying it's just proactive investing strategy, but it's the big PAS thing.
PAS is what we call it, Proactive Asset Allocation Strategy.
Yeah. That's the mouthful version.
That's why we call it PAS. Yeah.
They've got offices. I mean, your Arlington Heights is your main operation, but you've got offices around Chicagoland and Houston, San Francisco. I mean, you've got a lot around the country, too.
Correct.
You've got a question about investing. You can call or text 312-981-7200. And boy, oh boy, I knew why you walked in with a smile. What a week. I can't keep track. It's something like 34, 35 records in 2014 for the Dow alone, and the S&P is doing robustly well. Am I right in thinking that the S&P, if it's hitting records, that's more significant because it's more than just 30 companies?
Yeah, I think the S&P is more significant than the Dow. It was just 30 companies. They tend to move together, though. You know, they're both very large companies. We haven't seen as good of a strength in smaller and mid-sized companies. So we're definitely seeing the large caps lead the way during this cycle so far.
So you would say like the Russell 2000 hasn't been as robust because that reflects more of the smaller size companies?
Yeah, it's not even at a high for the year. It hit its high in March. It's very close, you know, since the rebound, but it hasn't rebounded all the way back to its March high.
We had jobs growth taking off. Nobody called what the Bureau of Labor Statistics number of 321,000 yesterday for November. Nobody came close to that. Mm-hmm. We've got wages now more broadly rising.
Right.
Oil down, which is good for most companies unless you're investing in energy. Car sales are strong. Construction is picking up.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking mighty good. And your forecast of, what was it, 32% within a year after the bottom of the correction that we went through a couple of months ago? I'm thinking, you bet. I'm no expert, but I was astounded when you said that. But it's clearly not just moving in that direction, it's galloping in that direction.
Yeah, it's been a very strong recovery, one of the strongest. And that's a good sign because it kind of tells you the amount of demand that came back into the market quickly following the correction that we saw in September and October. The demand was very strong, and stocks rebounded and hit a new high very quickly in the rally.
You use this model, your PAS model. Does it sort of say, you know, here's likely what's going to happen? I mean, around the corner, you're obviously expecting, since you're fully invested, you have no cash, mm-hmm. which is where somebody typically goes if there's some waffling and where the market's going.
Right.
You're obviously expecting this to continue to go. Maybe not as strong as it's been. I don't know. Maybe so, but certainly on an up direction.
We are expecting, and that's what PAS is designed to do, is to tell us the probabilities of what should happen. And we talked a lot about that, Bill, on the segment of your show over the last several months. This is the sweet spot for the market. You know, we had the correction that was well needed, and the markets begun to recover. We're in a very strong season for stocks. We're in the post-election recovery, which, you know, as you spoke of earlier, tends to be very strong for the next 6 to 12 months. So the probabilities are that we're in relatively early stages of what we would consider the next leg of the bull cycle that we're in.
A lot of people buy index funds. They think, you know, I just park my money there, I'll do fine. Are you comfortable talking about the performance of your investments vis-a-vis, say, one of the indexes?
Absolutely. And I think that's a great discussion to have because you can do better than just buying index funds. You know, we've studied the market. We developed an asset class ranking system that helps us identify which types of assets to own. So the first step is when to buy. And that was when we had the buy signals in October that we talked about. The second step in the proactive strategy.
Let's remember, October was still shaky.
Right.
I mean, we had passed the dip, right, or not?
Well, we bought two times. One, as it was coming down during the correction, and then second time, as we saw the rally beginning, that's our confirmed up signal telling us that the correction's over and the uptrend is back.
And those are the classic
track.
Buying times because nobody can anticipate the actual bottom.
Yeah, it's all, again, it's probability based. It's, you know, we bought when our indicator said if you buy today, you're probably going to get a good result sometime down the road. But getting back to outperformance, identifying the leaders in the early weeks or months of a new leg of a market cycle, our research shows that if you could see which ones are leading the way early, they tend to carry the market higher for that next leg. So yeah, our PAS model, since our early October tactical buy signal, has gained more than 10%. We compare ourselves to a global benchmark, a global stock index, and that's gained about 3%. So we've gotten about three times the result since that tactical buy signal a couple months ago.
Can you map that against the S&P and what its return has been?
Yeah, the S&P, I don't know exactly. I probably shouldn't say, but I believe it's around 5%. It's doing better than the global. The U.S. is one of the leaders. You mentioned the strong economic numbers. That's no surprise to me. The market starting to move up several weeks ago is a leading indicator, and that tells me more than likely the economic numbers are going to continue to gain strength as we move into the end of this year, early part of next year. The U.S. is one of the leaders. We're also seeing a lot of leadership out of Asia. China.
When
is,
you say leadership, what do you mean?
Relative strength.
Okay.
So they're, you know, relative to the global markets. The U.S. is strong. China is our number one ranked asset class out of the 111 that we track right now. And just today, I keep hearing about people calling for recessions in China, and there's no way that's going to happen. The Shanghai market has been moving steadily higher. It's been surging in the last few months, and the stock market leads the economy. Usually, you'll see the market start to drop 3 to 6 months before an economic recession. So to me, there's no way
that... So going in and out, it's always the market is the leading indicator.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So China's strong. India's very strong. And Japan also has very strong stock market right now.
Interesting about China because, you talk about a recession there. They still are... Aren't they still beating us in growth?
Oh, yeah.
GDP
growth? They have about twice the growth, 7% somewhere in that range.
Yeah, that's white hot.
It's white hot. And
recession?
That's what people are... cover of Barron's today had a story about a potential recession in China. So I keep hearing about the fallout that China continues to decelerate, and it may be, but 7% growth is still good. And importantly, you could buy stocks in China for 7 times next year's earnings. 7 times, whereas ours are trading at least 2, maybe 2.5 times that amount. So you're getting great value for an economy that's growing faster than just about every other economy in the world.
Yeah, certainly better than the Eurozone or Draghi.
That would be the one big concern that I have is the Eurozone, because the European Central Bank, they continue to not live up to their expectations. They say they're going to do things, but they don't do it.
Does he just ever stop jawboning?
So
the
far,
the value of the euro. I mean, he's just been driving it down and saying they're going to do all this stuff, and nothing happens.
Well, and that alone is helping, because the euro dropping is a stimulus to the European economy. Also, they're a huge beneficiary, and this is maybe something we want to talk about more today, Bill. Is energy prices being down? You know, on Thanksgiving, when everybody else was eating turkey here in the U.S., OPEC was meeting. They decided not to cut production. Oil dropped 10% that day. This is a big stimulus for oil consuming countries, certain sectors, certain countries. Europe they produce hardly any oil. So they're a big beneficiary of this drop in oil and energy prices. That and the euro dropping is helping to stimulate their economy and keeping it floating. They're also bringing their interest rates way down. Italian government bonds dropped below 2%. This week, Germany's bonds are below 1%. So those sorts of things are helping, but they haven't stepped up and done what our Fed has done, what Japan's doing, quantitative easing. That's what's needed to get the European economy turned around.
Well, you talk about what the oil prices are doing to energy producers. Am I bad for kind of quietly, gleefully thinking about what this is doing to Iran and Russia? I mean,
oh, absolutely not. I mean, so I talked about Europe being a big beneficiary. The U.S. is right behind there, even though we're a bigger oil producer today than we were, say, 5 or 10 years ago. The lion's share of our economy benefits from lower oil and gas prices. China produces almost no, Asia in general produces very little oil. Japan, China, India, these are big economies that are beneficiaries of lower oil prices. But Russia, OPEC,
Venezuela,
yeah,
Iran,
yeah. Norway, you know, would be the one European economy because they produce a lot of oil. But certainly 80% of the global economy benefits from lower oil and energy prices. You just have to avoid that 20% that's going to get hurt.
Okay, it sounds robust right now, but what about things like the robust dollar? We're talking about oil; it's traded in dollars.
Yes.
That's kicking butt around the planet with other currencies. I mean, can't something get out of alignment a little bit here and cause the sensitive nature of economies to start tumbling back?
Yeah, it could. The dollar's been very strong; hit a new high this week, and of course, commodities priced in dollars are dropping. You know, that's one of the reasons why. As long as the moves aren't explosive and rapid, it's okay to have a strong currency. I mean, that attracts capital to our country, our capital markets.
But our exports suffer.
Exports are going to suffer a little bit, yes.
Some companies say a lot.
Well, the big companies. Usually the bigger export-producing companies, you might see a little bit of hit on their earnings as the dollar goes up. But generally, you know, the market has done well, you know, if you look at over long periods with rising dollar trends and with falling dollar trends. It's only when the movements get very swift that it starts to cause some turbulence in the, you know, in the foreign exchange markets, and that tends to hit the stock market.
That's Joe Lopresti. He's the head guy at Arlington Capital Management. How long have you been running that company?
We started Arlington Capital in the year 2000. I've been in the industry for 29 years.
And your website?
Arlington-capital.com.
All right, more conversation with Joe Lopresti here on The Bill Mahler Show on 720 WGN. All right, back to Joe Lopresti for a few more minutes here of conversation. All right, let's look ahead. Everybody loves to talk about oil prices, gasoline prices. Let's continue that conversation. What do you see in 6 months, winners, losers in this arena?
Yeah, so I think this could be one of the biggest stories for investors over the next 6 months or even full year of 2015. You're going to have winners and losers from the shakeout and fallout in energy prices. Winners are, if you go by countries or regions, you're going to see Europe, you're going to see the U.S., you're going to see Asia as big winners from lower oil prices because we consume a lot more oil, you know, than we produce, or our economies. You know, the consumer is going to benefit from lower oil prices. And, of course, the oil-producing countries are going to get hurt. From a sector standpoint—
Now, let me ask you, we as an oil-producing country— I mean, we're hurting our energy companies,
right.
ExxonMobil and the rest. But is that hurting us indirectly too, the economy here?
Generally, we benefit. I mean, the consumer benefits. Every consumer out there that consumes energy.
But when
energy.
You say it's hurting oil-producing countries, since we're one, I mean—
Yeah, but our economy does not rely on oil to
go.
The extent
that Russia
would, or the Middle East, OPEC countries, Venezuela.
Yeah, there's something like 90%. I don't know about Venezuela,
right.
But some of these Persian Gulf countries, that's all they got.
Right.
It's desert.
We produce more oil than we used to, but it's not going to devastate our economy as it could some. Mm. And certainly as an investor, you could just look out there and say that, you know, what are the beneficiaries from a sector standpoint? When we bought, with our tactical and confirmed up signals in October, our asset class ranking system identified the transportation sector as a leading sector. So companies like Southwest Airlines, trucking companies, railroad companies, and all airline companies are going to benefit from lower energy prices.
Even though railroads also haul a lot of tank cars of oil.
Yeah, well, they're not done hauling them. We're still producing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if oil keeps dropping to the point that they stop producing, then it could hurt, you know, certain transportation companies. But that's not going to happen unless it goes down quite a bit more. The retail sector, right? You can look at specialty retail companies. Our ranking system identified the specialty retail sector as a leader. We bought into companies like L Brands, which owns franchises like Victoria's Secret and Bath and Body Works.
How do they benefit from shipping costs?
They benefit from the consumer who buy their goods having more money in their pocket.
It's like getting a tax break.
It's like getting a tax break, absolutely. Ulta cosmetic and salons. So, you know, those types of companies are doing very well.
Ulta had numbers, I think, last week that were gangbusters.
They were gangbusters. L Brands had good numbers. Now, certain companies aren't doing that well, and you have to analyze, like Abercrombie & Fitch and Aeropostale. You know, these companies came in with very bad numbers, but you certainly have to analyze the company. But if you could find strong companies in the specialty retail sector, that should be a big winner. And then just buy funds in countries like China and India and perhaps Japan. These are economies are going to benefit big time from lower oil prices. We own China and India in the form of ETFs, exchange-traded funds, in our model, and they're doing very well.
Joe Lopresti, Arlington Capital Management, arlington-capital.com. That's a capital with an A. Joe, it's been good having you on the show.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye.